We are at the ashram of the last master of Kashmiri Shaivism, Swami Lakshmanju. He did not appoint any successor. So this stream ends here. So firstly, I would like to thank Shri I.K. Raina, who's the chairman of the Kashmir Shaivism Institute, and Vijay Kumarji for giving us permission to speak here. Swami Lakshmanju, I had heard of for the last 20 years, particularly in reference to Bhagwan Ramana Maharshi. I think he was in his 20s or 30s when he felt the urge to travel to Tiruvannamalai to visit Bhagwan. And he said, when he walked into Bhagwan's room, he saw him sitting on his sofa with the legs stretched out. And Bhagwan asked him to sit at his feet. And when Lakshmanju looked at the feet, he went into Samadhi. And then he composed some verses in praise of Arunachala and handed them over, these shlokas, to Bhagwan, who loved them so much that he read them out and explained them to his devotees. There is one more sweet incident on record, which is that Lakshmanju would accompany Bhagwan for his walks on the hill, and Bhagwan would sit at a particular rock. And one day, Bhagwan sat there and someone pulled out a camera to take a photo of Bhagwan. And Bhagwan called out, "Lakshmanju, Lakshmanju, come here, come and sit next to me. Someone is going to take a photo of us." That was the fondness Ramana Maharshi had for Lakshmanju. Now, I would like to just touch upon three or four quotations of Swami Lakshmanju and explore them very briefly. The tenet of his teaching was, God and the individual are one. To realize this is the essence of Shaivism. God and the individual are one. It is not a God out there. That to recognize this is the essence of Shaivism. The kingdom of God is within, the same thing. And more importantly, that is you, me, he, and she. Or consciousness is all there is. So you cannot pursue a God apart from manifestation. That is why my teacher would say, this manifestation is an appearance of the source within itself. The manifestation is a reflection of the source within itself, not apart from it, because there is nothing apart from that. Now, a common example given is a barking dog goes into a hall of mirrors and it sees dogs barking. The barking dog goes in, sees dogs barking. That's all it sees. The individual goes in to the hall of mirrors, but due to the process of divine hypnosis, the Maya, it sees others. It is the sage who sees himself, because the sage has clear vision. He knows that everything is a reflection of the one source. So there is nothing separate from him. The energy of action is not separate from the energy of knowledge. When that energy of knowledge has got entry in the supreme limit of yoga, because yoga is action. The energy of action is not separate from the energy of knowledge, because it is pure action, which means action without doership. not my action. The energy of action is not separate from the energy of knowledge when that energy of knowledge has got entry in the supreme limit of yoga, because yoga is action. That is why in the Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, if your nature is that of a warrior, you have to act. The problem is, you think you are doing the action. That is why you are saying, I will not fight. I am going to put my bow and arrow down. But what you don't realize, dear Arjuna, is that as time, I have already killed them. And it is only through you that the action will happen. Therefore, I said this morning, consciousness in action is understanding, knowledge. And understanding in action is witnessing, where there is no doership. And that is when Arjuna picks up the bow and arrow. In each and every turning point of this life, I become helpless and there is only one hope for me, O Lord Shiva, and that is your grace. In each and every turning point of life, let's look at the most defining moments of our life. Could be a loss, could be something very big which defined you, and you will find that it just happened. You had no choice over it. You realize that you did not exercise any volition, any free will, but something so powerful happened, so unexpected, that it changed the course of your journey. For example, you lose a loved one. Suddenly, did you have any control over that? And yet, that is a defining moment. The trajectory has changed. So, what is this statement pointing to? That is when you really know how helpless you are in life, and yet the grace of Lord Shiva has full potential to be there and is there. That is why my teacher would say to anyone on the spiritual path who's disappointed, dejected, not making enough progress perhaps, or whatever it be, he would say, why are you considering your glass half empty? If God has brought you so far on your journey, why are you thinking He'll drop you here? He's got you so far, right? That is grace. And that is why He would say, always consider your glass half full and not half empty. Because we tend to focus on the negative. I am not progressing enough. I am not doing enough. I am not good enough. But thus far have you come? By the grace of Shiva. It is one's own consciousness that puts a question and gets its reply in the state of the master and disciple. This is what we spoke about at the beginning of the retreat. It is one's own consciousness that puts a question and gets its reply in the state of the master and the disciple. You see, fundamentally, as my teacher would say, you think I am speaking and you are listening. But what is actually happening is consciousness is speaking through one instrument and listening through the other. It appears that we are individuals, but if consciousness were not there, we would be dead bodies. So who is speaking and who is listening? Consciousness is speaking and consciousness is listening. To whom? To itself. And as explained before, what happens is that the higher self, to use, let's say, a word to explain this, projects itself onto another form, and that form shines the light back to the disciple. So in the world of form, a disciple thinks that there is someone separate from me that I have made my guru. because I'm in the world of form. But what has actually happened is that the higher self is teaching itself through another form and giving gyan, which means when you are bowing down to someone, to a guru, you are not bowing down to an individual. It appears like that. You are bowing down to your own higher self. That is why masters say gurus point the way, Sadguru is within. Yet, in the realm of duality, we need this mechanism. Now imagine if you told someone who was hesitant to bowing down as an act, that you are bowing down to your own higher self, no problem then. There'd be no resistance. A true master doesn't care whether you bow down to him or her, that's irrelevant. But what actually transpires in the act is the offering of the ego. At the feet of not an individual, but at the feet of the source whom the master represents. That is what actually happens. Not a subservient action or any of that sort. Grossly misunderstood. And there's even a science behind it, because the energy flows strongest from the feet. That is why some masters won't allow you to touch their feet. They'll say, bow down, but don't touch my feet. Everything has a science behind it. Things are not what they appear to be, but we get hooked onto the appearances and make judgments and assumptions. Joel Goldsmith referred to the first statement which I read out as God appearing as individual being. So whenever he would walk on a street, supposing he saw a drunk man, his thought process was not so sad, no. His thought process was, this is God appearing as individual being. And one of his students said, she was in a bus once, and there was a man who was very agitated, creating a ruckus. And she remembered her teacher's teaching. She just sat in presence and said, this is God appearing as individual being. When the next stop came, this man who was agitated got off. Before he alighted, turned around, looked at her and said, thank you. So I would emphasize the first statement I read to end this brief talk, because it tends to get missed, especially in spiritual seeking and spiritual circles. God and the individual are one. To realize this is the essence of Shaivism. One means not two, not two, which is also the essence of Advaita, Advaita, not two. Appears like that, no doubt, but not two. And that is why the tenet of Goldsmith's teaching was give up the belief in two powers. There is no power apart from God. Thank you.